person, and that's why David HaMelech, King David, came out from him, from his progeny, and that's why Mashiach will come from David HaMelech, from Yehuda. Oh,
he's got to.
Welcome back, Rabbi Tali. I just asked the question of the seeker. Can I just say, can you give me like 120 seconds, Tali?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. This is very quickly. Level number one is that a person is first and foremost, what's my purpose in life? And I'm going to earn a good place in Olam Haba, in the world to come. And obviously, the Jewish people also comprise a community, so I'll join the community. Where I can, I'll help, and I respect them, and honor them. That's a level of responsibility, of intermingledness, and of guaranteeing each other. There's a second level where not only does a person realize I'm part of a community, but one realizes that every single member of that community has something that I don't have. Not only that we are all part of a group, but that we all need something from each other. And the analogy is of the head and the leg. The head is the head. But in certain respects, the leg is the head, because the head, if it wants to study something or acquire something, it needs the legs to take it where it wants to go. Or sometimes you give an injection in the leg in order to heal something that's wrong with the head, because each part of the body in its field is, so therefore we see each other as every one of us is, in a sense, necessary for me as well. Not just I guarantee it because I need a community, but we're all part of a community. The third level, which was Yehuda, it's where the person goes right to the essence, that in essence, there is no such thing as the head and the leg. And in essence, that's called Yechidah Shebanefesh, the innermost point of the soul. There, everyone is equal, and you start off right away from that way that everyone is indispensable and irreparable. I'm ready to give my life for every single one of them. That's what Yehuda showed. He said, I became a guarantor to my father that Binyamin is going to come back. He was talking about that level of responsibility. And that level is what made him be the progenitor of David HaMelech and of Mashiach.
Thank you.
Koyach. Sorry for going on.
I know, that's lovely. Thank you very, very much.
I underestimated how much time it'll get you to get back on.
Now,
I overestimated.
What we see is the multifaceted aspect of Yehuda and the imagery that is there in the Torah. You see, there's a concept, Shivim Ponim LaTorah. The Torah has 70 faces. And that multiplicity of the Torah is an essential aspect to it. And it's very interesting that the thrust towards secularism in Europe was begun by a Jew living in the 1600s called Baruch Spinoza.
Oh.
And he later changed his name to Benedict. And one of the crucial things about Spinoza was that he looked at Maimonides' discussions of the Torah. And Maimonides explains that there are allegories in the Torah. The Torah is saying one thing and it means many other things at the same time. And this Spinoza didn't like. He thought, look, the Torah is just a book. And if it says this, that's all it's saying. He couldn't see it as having multiple meanings. And it's very interesting that that began the step towards secularism. The whole Enlightenment is said to proceed from Spinoza's secularist viewpoint. And it began by not appreciating that there are 70 faces to the Torah. All right, so Rabbi Lou introduced you to a very profound face. we're going to look at the way this mimer presents it. They all the interpretations connect together, but nonetheless, within any particular discourse, you have that imagery that the discourse is presenting.
Can you open up a little bit, make it a little bit bigger?
A little bit. Let's see if that's possible. Okay, can you see it now?
Better. Yep. What about the rest of the...
Now, Vayigash Elav Yehuda. So Yehuda comes up to Joseph, right? So now the content of this, the idea of Judah coming up to Joseph, that means the unity of Judah and Joseph. So that's this idea. But when it says Judah went up to Joseph, it's expressing the idea that Judah and Joseph come together. And in the same way, in the Haftorah, it tells us that in the future there will be these two pieces of wood, the piece of wood of Judah, which is of, and the piece of wood of Ephraim. And those two pieces of wood represent the two kingdoms. And one king will be for both, and that will be David. As it says, "Va'avdi David Melech Aleim," my servant David will be king over them, as it says in Haftarah. "V'David Avdi Nosi Lehem Le'olam," my servant David will be their leader forever. Now, Ephraim means Yosef, as we know, and it brings various verses explaining that. And David is from the tribe of Yehuda, as Rabbi Lu just explained. So it means that the Haftorah is about the unity of Joseph and Yehuda, both of them under one king coming from Yehuda. Now, so we have that in the Sedra, the idea of Judah and Joseph. We have it in the Haftorah, the idea of the people of Judah and the people of Joseph. Now, in line 13, the Rebbe says, "V'hine HaTorah hi nitzchet, HaTorah hi nitzchet," the Torah is eternal. From this we understand that in this Yeshna Horan Itzchid, there's an eternal teaching to every Jewish man and every Jewish woman. That also the story about what's going to be in the future, who Nitzchi is eternal, like coming backwards to us. And it relates to us now. And so suddenly the things that are in the past, which are written in the Torah is a teaching to the Jewish people. So that means, what is it? What is this teaching? And it's not only a teaching to us, it's a teaching to us about our central feature. What's the central feature of a Jew? That is in the Ikra in Yanoshel Kol Echad VeEchad Yisrael, the central feature of each Jew, Masha Aminiv Reiti L'Shamesh Et Koni. I was created to serve my Creator. So that means the Torah is something which has got many different ideas and teachings and stories and laws. But every single word is actually a teaching to us. And it's a teaching to us in such a way that it helps us understand our main purpose in life. And our main purpose in life is that I'm created, each one of us is created to serve our Creator. That's what we're there, that's what we're here for. All the other aspects of life are part of that. They are to help us in fulfilling that basic theme. And the explanation is Kamavitrushe Parshatenu, as explained in the discourses about this Sedra. All the way from Rabbi Shneur Zalman, all the different Chabad Rabbeim, Sheinyane Yehuda veYosef, Haim Shneinyanim, are the two concepts of, on page Vav, the Talmud, learning Torah, Umaisa, and action. You see, there are two aspects to a Jew's life. learning and action. If you're trying to describe what Judaism is about, what do? I recently had to design a course on precisely that. So the first paragraph was about Jewish book, all Jewish learning. The second paragraph was about Jewish action, the mitzvah, the commandments. You need both. Now, which of them takes precedence? Which would you put first? Would you put the actions first or the teaching? How does it go? You've only got 5 minutes to speak to someone. What do you speak to him about? You speak to him about putting on tefillin, lighting Shabbat candles if it's a woman, or do you study something with him or her? Right? So what do you do? So there was a discussion in the Talmud. E Talmud Gadol or Maise Gadol? What's greater, study or action? Now, the Yehuda, now you see the point is that Judah represents action. It's going to come out in the discourse. But the symbolism is Judah represents action. Joseph represents Torah study. So in the end, it is Judah, the Yehuda Gava Be'echav. Judah is the one who comes out most powerfully. V'hu HaMelech, he is the king, She'ikain Yanohu Lifsok, Eich Yia Maisa Be'Poel. He's got the power to decide what they're actually going to do. That's Judah in relation to his brothers, and that is the actions of the mitzvah. The mitzvah are things you have to do. Do this and don't do that. V'zeo gamin yanoshul David. This is also what it says about David. Dichtiv beva avdi David, like it says, my servant David. Dinyana avdu. Now, what does it mean, servant? That's shayach l'maisa b'poel. That's when you're talking about practical action. Now, so Judah and David, they represent practical action. You see the imagery. There's my servant, David. So if you're talking about a servant is a servant because he does things. You don't have a servant to learn. You have a servant. What does your servant do? He runs your website. He runs your website so you can learn. But a servant does something. So whatever, he makes coffee, he chops the wood, cleans the car. I don't know what servants do. Now, so the Yosef, line 6 on page 6, the Yosef, Joseph in Yanuhu Talmud, he represents study of Torah. Why? Now the word Yosef means increase. This is because when Rachel had her first son, Joseph, she was very happy, but she wanted another son. And she said, Yosef Hashem li ben acher, let God increase for me and let me have a second son. And she did have a second son, but unfortunately she passed away in childbirth. So Joseph means increase. And increase is the whole idea of study. When you study something, you're learning it, you're thinking about it, you're analyzing it, you write notes about it, you get an idea, you write a whole essay. Learning generates learning. Yes, that's the idea of chidushim. When a person studies Talmud, they write some new commentary. You know, when you look at a volume of Talmud, the actual text of the Talmud is relatively a small amount of the entire book because it's filled with commentaries. There are all kinds of commentaries that people thought while they're studying. See, pretty hard to see. Here I got a volume of Talmud. So there you have the Talmud. So you see, you got in the middle of the page, that's the actual Talmud, the Mishnah Talmud. Then you got these commentaries, one on this side, which is Rashi, one on that side, Tosafot. But at the back of the book, there's more and more commentaries, lots and lots of commentaries, discussions, you see, all based on that piece of Talmud. It's just, so the whole idea of Talmud is increase, more and more and more, thousands and thousands and thousands of books thank God. It's the most amazing thing. We live in this, and we live in this wonderful time that I can share it with you. Here is a little thing I'm holding in my hand. 84,000 books. It's an external hard drive with Tanai Nahara, 84,000 books, Torah books, Talmud, commentaries, Hasidic teachings, all the Chabad library is there, and many, many other things. So that's the idea that Joseph is the Inyan of Talmud. Because the idea of Talmud is of study ba'ofen shel la'aposhelo, to increase. Shemosif al yedei limud, through one adds, through learning, with bahavana, vahasaga, one's understanding, one's appreciation. Shezeu inyano shel Yosef, that's what Joseph means, milashon hosafa, extra, addition, increase. Now Joseph had a son, Ephraim. And Ephraim also means humilishon hifchani. Ephraim comes from the root pri, like a fruit. That's being fruitful. God may be fruitful. So it's also fruitfulness. Study is fruitfulness. Ribui bohosafa, increase. Vihine, tachlit hakavana. Now the goal is, the real goal is, if I can find it. He shashneim, that's on line 12. He shashneim yitachdu, that action and learning will join together. Vahaynu shetia pu'ulada Talmud b'masa, that means the Torah study will have a good effect on the action. U'pu'ulata ma'asa, and the action will have an effect on the Talmud. Now, what does that mean? That the action will have an effect on the Talmud. That's an interesting idea. What does it mean? Look at line 14. The pulat ha-maaseh b'Talmud, the effect of action on Talmud, on Talmud study, Torah study, muvenet al pi ha-megvor behemshech tafresh samachva, can be understood by a very, very wonderful book written by the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, which the name of the book is simply a date, 1906. So that 1906, it actually begins 1905, but the Hebrew date is 5666. So 5666 was, it began off in the on Rosh Hashanah of that year, and it went on for a very long time. The Rebbe teaching, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Shalom Dober, the Rashab, teaching fascinating, fascinating interlinked discourses. For 2 years, 3 years, I'm not sure how long it continued. Rabbi Liu, how long does Samachbob go on?
Almost a couple of years.
Couple of years.
About 2.5 years.
2.5, thank you. So it's a stunning work. And in there, it explains the connection, what is the effect of action on learning Torah? The kasher lomed Torah yodea, when the one who's learning Torah knows, shahamaaseh b'poel yitalud b'limudo, that the practical action depends on what he's learning. In other words, he's not learning just for fun. He's learning because from what he learns, that's how people are going to behave. Like he's learning a halakha. Imagine a rov. Someone has asked the rabbi a subtle question. The rabbi is now looking it up in the Talmud, in the codes of law, and in the responsa literature. And what he's learning is in order to give an informed answer to the person who's asked the question. And depending on that answer, that's what that the person is going to do something. They are going to marry that girl or not going to marry that, you know, whatever it might be. It might be some real crucial life-changing issue. And so the rabbi is learning in a very serious way. Azai hare azu batel legamre mechaven el amitat halacha. When he's studying, He's not studying just for the enjoyment of studying. He's studying in order to find out what is the teaching of the Torah, which he's now going to communicate to that person who's asked the question, and it's going to have an effect on that person's life. Because he knows that this really affects practical action in the real world. And on the other hand, it works the other way around as well, complementary. Studying has a direct effect on action. When we study, so that way, the first way was that action has an effect on the way you study Talmud. The other way around is easier to understand. When you study, you're studying and you know that this is going to tell you how you should do whatever you're trying to do. It's not only that you have to know the halachot in order to know what to do and what you shouldn't do. Part of the whole process of learning is learning in a way that one understands, which means thinking about it. And that itself is the increase that there is in Talmud. That's one of the laws about Talmud study, Torah study. Because it's impossible to decide halacha l'maaseh. It's impossible to decide on the basis of what you've learned to know what to do without knowing all the detailed ins and outs and the reasons for the law, as the sages tell us, the early sages tell us, you have to understand very well in order to know what is the practical action that emerges. So in other words, learning and action are intimately. Vihine, this is line 27. Phoebe is according to this explanation. Now, this is an interesting idea. Our actions are external, they're outside. Learning is inside the head. That's where we're learning. But in fact, we have two aspects within the person himself. All right, so at this moment, we're moving, we're changing gear. We're going to another dimension of this discourse. The first dimension, or the you can say that the first aspect of the discourse is Judah and Joseph in the center. The second aspect of the discourse is the people of Judah and the people of Joseph in the time of the destruction, or the time before the destruction of the temple, and how they were divided, and how the promise in the book of Ezekiel is that they're going to be united together. So you've got Judah and Joseph as two people, two individuals. And then you've got two sections of the Jewish people. And then we had learning. Judah is action of an individual and learning of Torah. And now we're going to another dimension of the individual in prayer, right? So we're going deeper, as it were. We're going deeper into each one of them. Now, in our prayer, in the service of prayer, there is the idea of what is called smichat geula letfilah, putting Geula, which means redemption, next to the prayer. Now, the prayer here means the Amidah, the 18 to 19 benedictions. And just before we actually come to that, to say that, I'm just going to take a prayer book. 1 second. I want to read. I should really have made a copy of this, but for the Zoom, but it works in such a slow way, it would have slowed us up, and so it's just as well I didn't. So you see, in the morning prayer, just before we say the Amidah, Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. Blessed are you, our God, and God of our fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the beginning of the Amidah. The 18, 19 benediction. It was originally 18 benedictions, then another one was added, a 19th by Rabban Gamliel, but all in the ancient past, 2000 years. Now, just before that, there's a beautiful declaration. A new song was sung by those who were redeemed from Egypt. They sang this song to your great name on the edge of the sea, which had just split and destroyed the Egyptians. Together, all of them cried out and declared your kingship. They said, God will be king forever and ever. And there's a verse which says, redeem us, Lord, our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Blessed are you, O God, who redeems Israel. And then immediately we say, Lord, open my lips, my mouth will declare your praise. Blessed are you. That, then we take three steps back, three steps forward, start the Amidah. Now, these two sections together are called the Geula, the redemption, like it's a paragraph about the redemption, and the Tfila, the prayer, the Amidah. Now, the Talmud says that it's very important for these two sections to be joined together. You mustn't interrupt. If someone talks to you in between, you just ignore them. But you have, you know, if there's some crisis, you know, there's a discussion, you know, what you should do. But basically, in normal situations, you've said, blessed are you, O God, who redeems Israel. And immediately you have to begin the tefillah. So that idea of putting the redemption and the prayer and the Amidah together, that's an important thing. And that is here being translated. But that is the idea of Joseph and Judah. Because Judah represents the idea of the tefillah, the idea of the prayer, the Amidah. Because this prayer is in total selflessness. When you say the Amidah prayer, it's a fascinating moment of spiritual experience every single day. And it could be more than once. There's Shachrit, there's Mincha, there's Ma'arit. Let's consider Shachrit. It's a phenomenal thing, the morning prayer. It is said with total selflessness. One of the explanations of the words, Lord, open my lips so my mouth should declare your praise, is because the person feels such surrender to God that it's as if they can't speak with their own power, and they ask God to open their lips and make them say the word. It's as if the words are pouring through us. We are not creating the words when we say it. We are a channel for the word. The words come from our great sages of thousands of years ago who have passed down this prayer, the Amidah, which has got tremendous significance. Every one of its blessings, every one of its sections, its 18, 19 sections, it's got tremendous multiple significance, and it's like a flowing through. And we are in a state of bittul, a state of selflessness. And that's the idea of Judah. And that we can see in a verse about Judah, because when Judah was born, his mother Leah said, Hapam Odet Hashem, I will really thank God, and she didn't have any more children for a little while. She stopped bearing children, and the word vata'amod is she stood. She stood from bearing children. It's like a way of saying she stopped at that point. She had more children later, but at this point she stopped. Through her thanking of God and recognizing God and feeling in God and feeling subservient to God, feeling selflessness in relation to God, through that, Bayim la'amida u'bitul, through that we come to the standing still, to the total selflessness. Now, what happens before the Amidah, which represents Judah, before that is the idea of the redemption. And that's the idea of Joseph and increasing, because redemption means increase. And especially when the redemption is in a way of Pada b'shalom nafshi, line 8. He redeemed in peace my soul, my life, from the enemy, from the battle around me, that in fact there is no longer any battle, only it's the redemption and it's in peace. So that is a hachava, that is a sense of breadth and of increase. It's a wonderful sense of freedom and of peace. And that's what is meant by putting the redemption next to the prayer, to the Amidah. And that is a unity of Yehuda and Joseph. And both those things of Talmud, learning and action, redemption and prayer, you see, those are the two, bringing those two different ways of analyzing it together. They are next to each other and they are unified together. And that is the idea of the unity that will be in the future. When it says that David, King David, my servant, will be leader over them forever. So in other words, all these disparate aspects, which at this point in time are disparate and different, they come together with a beautiful sense of unity. And of course, there's a very special, I mean, this idea of redemption and prayer, it can all be put together. In the Sfirot, the prayer is Malchut, kingship, and the higher Sfirot, like Joseph, bringing to dedication, connection, bonding, and it all is unified together in a tremendous way. It's really a redemptive experience. Every time a person prays, and especially this part of the prayer, it starts off with the Shema, and then there's the section before the Amidah, and then the Amidah. That whole experience, which can take about 8-9 minutes, bless you, it can be a most beautiful, redemptive experience. Incredibly beautiful experience. Now then, says the Rebbe in the discourse, let's try to understand the story. We're going back now into the Torah, and we're looking at the idea of Judah coming up to Joseph, and it says what Judah says to Joseph. He said, please let me speak to you, listen to, and he gives an account of everything that happened, the whole way in which you insisted to bring our younger brother to you. So why is he saying this? Why is he going through this? And then there's another question, says the Rebbe on line 21. After the words of Judah, it says, as we read together, Joseph wasn't able to control himself. And it implies that this was as a result of what Judah said to him. Now, most of what Judah said to Joseph, Joseph already knew. Yeah, when you go through the text, what it was that Judah said to Joseph, we came, you asked us to bring our younger brother, we brought our younger brother. Joseph knows all this already. It's not a surprise to him. So why is it that it had this effect on Joseph that he wasn't able to control himself and he burst into tears? Now, of course, you can say, well, he burst into tears, it's emotional, but we're looking at the whole story in a sort of a grander way, in a more powerful dimension, and a mystical dimension as well. So the bottom of this page, line 29, the thing is as follows. As explained in a book of Hasidus, explaining our parsha of the week, our Vayigash, the special thing about the words of Judah was that through him recounting the whole story, he is elevating the whole story. The fact that Judah goes through the story of what happened, how we came, and you accused us of being spies, and you said that you wanted to see our younger brother, and we then brought the younger brother, and he is actually elevating a higher spiritual level.
Where?
And that means, what? And that means that he is achieving to a higher spiritual level, and that means he's transforming the past and he's joining them to their root. Now, this is a very fascinating and very deeply mystical concept. And it helps us understand the whole idea of what a Rebbe is. A Rebbe is someone who can transform. A person comes to a Rebbe and tells them various things about their life. And the Rebbe can help that person, can transform that aspect of the person's life from negative into positive in a most incredible way. That's the power of a Rebbe. A tzaddik, as it says in chapter 10 of Tanya, a true tzaddik is someone who can change bitterness into sweet, negative into positive. And a person comes to a Rebbe and tells the story of his life, the problems that are there, the Rebbe is able to elevate that. And how does he elevate it? How does he transform it? By connecting it to its source on a higher level. There might be a transgression that a person has done. That transgression is here in this world. It's a terrible transgression. But if you go back, up, up, up to the very source, the very source of everything is the infinite divine. On the level of the infinite divine, everything is good. And the Rebbe, the Tzaddik, is able, the Hasidic Rebbe, is able to connect what is down here below and connect it above so that everything is transformed. Okay, line 2 on this page 8. Hine Yehuda Hiskibit Barav. Judah described in what he was saying, he mentioned the selling of Joseph. Didn't say it openly, but it's there as a remnant, as a hint, which externally was the most horrific thing. And in fact, that had caused a terrible thing for Judah himself. In Parshat Vayeshev, 2 weeks ago, it says after Joseph was sold, Judah himself went through a kind of state of depression. He went away from the others, got married to some strange one. It was a whole complete strange thing. So, however, now line 8. Through the fact that Judah is telling over these things, what he's actually doing is elevating them to their roots. And there they are exalted things. Okay, so this is Jewish mysticism, that we have a thing that down here is very negative, but when you elevate it, it can become something positive. God created the world and he created that possibility in the world as well. And therefore, Dafka then was revealed that the selling of Joseph was in fact the very positive thing. As Joseph himself said, God has sent me before you to give you sustenance. He's made me a father to Pharaoh. He's given me this role so that I can feed you and I can feed the whole population. And it's Dafka Judah, Yehuda, because of his great selflessness, he was able to reveal this quality in Joseph. Therefore, through the fact that he achieved this revelation of something completely new in Joseph, that's why Joseph couldn't control himself. And he burst into tears. And tears come from an intensity in the mind. And it's a revelation. The mind itself is not able to take. And therefore, it comes out as tears and it comes out as a loss of self-control, because of something so positive and intense being revealed. Now, that's a very interesting way of understanding what is happening here. The normal way of reading it, it's a very dramatic part of the Torah. And the normal way of reading it, I was just listening to a young boy about 14 years old yesterday, and he was claiming, he was reading the Torah in Hebrew, and he was declaiming this description of what happened and how Judah said this to Joseph, and Joseph said, I am Joseph, is my father still alive? You know, and he was, this boy was declaiming the whole thing very, very dramatically and powerfully. It was like a beautiful thing. But this discourse is giving a different perspective on it. It's not just a dramatic story of, you know, of love, jealousy, enmity. It's drama. But it's much deeper than that. It's infinitely deeper than that. Because when Judah tells over the story of what is happening and what happened in the past, it is all being transformed. Judah is a man of mystical power on the highest level, and so is Joseph. And he's revealing this and elevating it, and it's in such a way that now Joseph sees the whole thing in a completely different way. It's Joseph who's undergoing the transformation. A minute ago, Joseph wanted that he would keep Benjamin with him, and he'd send all the other brothers back to Canaan. And he will have his brother, his full brother, all the others are only half brothers. He will have his brother and he'll be all right. But Judah, by telling him this story, is revealing a completely different way of looking at the whole thing. And it's that transformation which overtakes Joseph so that he's not able to control himself and he bursts out weeping. Now, the Rebbe now comments on an interesting thing, that in many ways, Joseph is higher than the other brothers. Joseph is the one who was able to be dedicated to God, even when he's in a busy situation in Egypt, even when he's got a very responsible job. At the same time, he's able to be devoted to the divine, whereas his brothers, in order for them to be devoted to the divine, they had to be shepherds, you know, and most of the time it's relatively quiet being a shepherd. When it comes to the sheep washing and the sheep shearing, okay, then it's action. But normally the sheep are grazing on the field and you're walking around just making sure they don't get lost. And you can think about godliness as much as you like. Can't do that when you're adding up accounts in the normal way. Yeah, can you be an accountant who's devoted to the divine? Well, Joseph could be, not everyone. Now, but even though Joseph generally is seen as having that higher quality, even though Joseph is seen as having that quality, even so, after the words, after the words of Judah, and this way that Judah comes up to him, and he is in total selflessness, and Judah has kind of transformed the whole story, that selflessness revealed an exalted radiance so much that it's even higher than the level of Joseph. You know, we can talk about the greatness of Joseph compared with the other tribe, the heads of the other tribes, but even greater than that, this was achieved by Judah here. Ad shelo haya Yosef yachol litapek, so Joseph could not restrain himself. And he started crying out, I am Joseph, is my father still alive? And the voice was sounded in the house of Paro in the palace, and reinterpreting the word Paro as the Zohar does, Beta de Itperiu v'itgalyin minei kol nahorin, the house from which all radiance is revealed, as the Zohar comments on this verse. Ad la'atzmuto mahuto yitbarech, till it really reached the very essence of the divine. So a climactic, mystical, spiritual event is taking place in these words in the Torah. And it's, you know, we can listen to them in the Torah, and if we understand what's going on, it's a beautiful, dramatic story. It's heartrending. It brings tears to our eyes. But it's much greater than that. It's much greater. It's transformative. It's taking the most problematic aspects of this world and transforming them into something very exalted. V'yehi rotzon, says the Rebbe, finishing off now with a blessing to us. May it be the will of Hashem. Shal yedei adibur v'chol inyanim elu, that through speaking about such things, nizke b'karov mamash, we will have the merit very soon, l'kiyum hayyud, to experience the promise which is in the Haftorah, in practical action, the joining together, hachibur d'Yehuda v'Ephraim, the joining of all the two different aspects, or all the different aspects of the Jewish people, Judah and Ephraim, ad levahayu la'achadim yadecha, they should be unified in your hand, God tells the prophet. V'yeh David avdi nasi lehem la'olam, and King David, meaning Mashiach, my servant, God's servant, will be ruler over them forever, and the whole world, u'basimcha v'tuv levav, with joy and a happy heart, but take care for miyad mamash. Immediate.
Koyach.
Amen.
Oh yeah, thank you very much, Tully. Well done. Yeah, got there.
Thank you.
Well, I'm sorry about all the problems with the computer and stuff.
Okay.
But it's such an amazing discourse, you know, and it shows us all these ways of appreciating it. Whether it's the story of Joseph and Judah themselves, or the people, or Torah study and action, or a process taking place within prayer, when we come back, Judah and Joseph, how that is something climactic for them, transforming, elevating, and transforming the history of the life of the children of Jacob, and the way this does they did of selling their brother, and it's all being transformed. And really, this is a transformative thing for us to go through such a discourse together. It is a transformation for us as well. Well, may Hashem bless us all. We will really see this transformation expressed in the world. All the negativity and resistance, including at this moment COVID and the shocking anti-Semitism that there is in all different parts of the world, and all the other negative going back to, it will all be recounted by Judah, as it were, and elevated and transformed to good, the coming of Mashiach Sidkin.
Amen.
Thank you, Tully. Thank you.
Thank you.